Not, maybe you have some things already planted in your mind by memory, but I'm wondering this morning if we can just share some scripture verses with each other. Find something in your Bible. If you, I don't know if you're like me, but I underline and highlight and do all that kind of stuff. Some people don't like to do that in their Bible. They'd rather do it in a notebook, but I do it right there where I can see it every time. If you do that, just breeze through your Bible, see what you've got underlined or marked or little notes, or maybe something from memory. And let's just share the Word, the living Word of God together this morning. Just a verse or two of something you've been reading or studying. Yes. Somebody. Yes. Okay. He surely is. Yes. He is surely faithful. Wow. When we utter our humility before God, He honors that. Someone else? Jerry? Yeah. That's a boatload there, isn't it? We can just cast it all. You know, nothing's too heavy for Him, is it? Nothing is too heavy. There you go. Yes. Yeah. Give thanks in all things. So no matter where we're at. Yes. Yes. That is God's will, that we have a thankful heart in all things. Yes. Someone else. Yes. Just blurt it out. What a privilege that we might have the privilege of participating in his holy nature. That's wonderful. Yes. Called us out of darkness. Loretta? Yes, beautiful, beautiful. Others? Cheryl? What a refreshing thing to stand on the rock and run into the fortress. He is there. Amen. Amen. He is worthy. Wonderful. Anyone else? Some? Yes. Christ. Yes, He is our strength. Up. Isn't He beautiful? His beauty radiates in all of creation. Yes. Others. I love to hear the Word. Jessica. Yes, it's one of those you want to go, yeah, we can do this thing called life because He is with us. Yes. Anyone else? Glorious. Yes, amen. Amen. The Word of God refreshes us. I love it. Anyone else? All right. Let's take time to go before this God that has just been described to us through His Word, that He is marvelous and beautiful and powerful and present and capable. All of those things we heard this morning, just in some short, quick verses from the Bible, and that He invites us to participate in Him, through Him, by Him. We want to pray today, and I want us to pray with the confidence that the Scriptures instruct us to, that we should come boldly before the throne of grace with our requests, and He hears us. He hears us. A God like we have just described by His own Word is listening and present with us right now. Hello, Lord. We're glad You're here. What are some of the things that we should lift up this morning? I have some requests, but I'd also like to hear what you have. What are some things that are heavy on your heart that we can bring before this mighty God? Yes. Those of our families and circles of relationships that are needing the Lord. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. The turmoil going on over there, God sees and He knows. And we need to pray. Yes. Yes, that was one of the ones I was going to mention here this morning. Joy Swanson is in the hospital, very sick with sepsis and C. diff, both going on. And those are very, very difficult illnesses. So we just learned that this morning. So, okay, Bob and Betty, let's lift them up. Absolutely. Keith, isn't that? Yeah, Keith is here. How you doing? How are you? Okay, you're moving around. We're glad you're still at him. I know there's a lot of healing to take place yet, so keep Keith in your prayers. Nate, how are your treatments going?
Good. Third one down,
fourth one coming up. Okay, great. Keep that in prayer. Yes. Yes, yes, I agree. Oh, yes, Jerry. Oh, dear. Okay. That's rough. But God is able. And their son teaches with you, right? Yes. Doug. Paul. Yeah. May the Lord help us not to be a people of anger or pushy, but a people of love. Isn't that scriptural? that we be a people of love. And may our love be real and authentic and show. Thank you for that word, Paul. Yes, Fred. Great. As it should be. Thank you for sharing that. And let's be conscientious of that. Lord, help us to be that kind of people continually. Yes. Nancy? Okay, yes. Yes. All right. I go tomorrow for my final chemo treatment. You've prayed me through every time. And I just dread going back in again and doing it again, but God is my strength, and so I need you to pray me through that, this last one. Then we'll wait 4 weeks, have a PET scan, and see where we're at in the progress. But thank you. Yes. 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 And believe it or not, I had to get a haircut. Yeah. just that little wink from the Lord. Got it.
I got every hair in your head number, so ain't losing them yet.
All right. So we're going to open the altar this morning, and if you would like to come and lift up some of these requests, or you have other unspoken things that you'd like to seek God on, and you just want a special time of before the Lord, where and we can all pray over the special needs represented, whatever you feel comfortable with. You can kneel, you can stand, you can sit, you can come forward, whatever it is that you would help flood your soul with the presence and the power of God as you seek Him today. So let's begin to pray together. Lord, we pause before you, considering all of these requests that have been voiced today. Inviting you to move upon each situation with grace and mercy from on high. We pray that Jesus Christ will be exalted in every situation, and that you will help us to see and believe and experience the power of Christ to enable us to press on toward the goal to win the prize. Lord, we are in a race against the evils of the world. And Lord, by your power, we can win. Help us to win. To run in such a way as to win. Lord, we need you desperately. In every facet of our lives, we are experiencing brokenness in our earthly existence right now. There's brokenness physically, mentally, emotionally, relationships, all kinds of brokenness. But Lord, these things do not even compare with the glory that will be revealed in us one day because of victory in Jesus. So help us to hold on, to fight the good fight, to finish the race, to keep the faith, I pray. Lord, as we look into your word today, we're praying that you would show us who you are and help our spirit to well up with joy and assurance that you are our God and there is none beside you, and you are able to carry us and help us and enable us to accomplish those things that please you. For those gathered at the altar this morning, we see them bringing in a special way some things that are on their hearts and that they're concerned for. I pray that you will honor these requests and work in these needs. And those that are in the congregation this morning that were not spoken, they're just deep within our souls, but somehow we just can't speak them out. We pray, Lord, that you would minister to us. And then, Lord, I pray that you will help us to be, continually be, the kind of people that Paul described to us this morning. A people of love. A people of good example. A people who don't just speak how to live, but live how to live. How to have faith. How to trust in you. I pray that you'll enable us to be examples of Christ. And Lord, for every broken heart that might be here this morning, every wandering soul, every depressed spirit, I pray that you will come and lift. We heard all of these requests this morning that were uttered, and you are familiar with every one of them by name, by need. We pray that you will descend upon these needs this morning. We commit all of this to you by faith, seeking your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. If you know this little chorus, you can sing along with me. Jesus, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. Glorify thy name, glorify thy name, glorify thy name in all the earth. Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Spirit, we love you. We worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. So I'll praise His name. I'll praise His name. I'll praise His name. He's so good to me. Amen. Kids, I forgot to dismiss you. Go ahead and go. They're anxiously waiting. If you would like to go to children's church, you're welcome to. I have discovered that as human beings, we have some basic desires in life. For example, we have a desire that's within us to be needed. Everybody wants to know that they're needed, right? That you have some value to someone else. We have a basic need to accomplish something in our lives, to progress, to be in motion toward something more, this desire to accomplish. We have an innate desire to be happy, right? We don't want to be sad. Our nature says we want to be happy. We have a desire for pleasure in life. It's been built into us to enjoy things. We have a great desire to have a purpose in our lives that's more than just a routine that we live. And let's face it, most of life is a routine, isn't it? But in that routine, we want to know that there's a reason. There's a good reason to keep going. Purpose. We have a basic desire to be acknowledged. We want somebody to notice us. Yeah, that's not a bad thing. We want to know that we matter, that we exist, that somebody knows I'm making a contribution of some sort in life. We want to know that. We have a desire built within us for companionship. Right from the very beginning, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. We have a desire for companionship. We have a desire to receive love and to give love. These things are built within us. And we could take every one of those categories of desire that I've mentioned today, and we could expand them into various ways to express these things, to display these things, but that would take the rest of the service and beyond to go through all of that, so we're not going to take time for that. But those are just basic needs that have many facets to them. My question today is, where did we get these desires from? Where did they come from? Take a guess. Ah, good guess. Yeah, the Creator built within us desires. And the Bible, as you've heard me say many times, and I'll probably say it 100,000 times more, that we are created in the image of God. So if we have all of these desires built within us, they came from God because God has desires too. If we're made in His image, then He must have the characteristics of desires that just the same as we do. Now, the desires that He gave us in all of their various facets were intended for good, right? They were intended to be lived out in purity and righteousness, and they were intended to be avenues of fulfillment in our lives. Unfortunately, sin has taken its toll on all that God had created to be good. And now those desires have the potential to be our downfall sometimes, don't they? But they were created and intended for good, and they were to be expressed in righteousness. And oh, what a beautiful thing they could have been if not for the fall of man that's messed them up. But do you know what redemption is about? Redemption is not only, it's a huge part of redeeming our, bringing our soul, our spirit back to God. Of course, that's the ultimate. But redemption is the process of God to restore what was lost. So these desires, when they are practiced in purity and goodness, are a real blessing. Now, my point is today is not to dig into our desires, but to point out that because they are there and given to us as gifts of the Creator, it means that the Creator also has desires. And I want to discover this day a little bit about what are God's desires. Desires are part of who He is, so let's try to discover today, what does God desire? Let's work together on this. What do you think? What kind of things, what kind of anything does God long for us to love Him? Yeah, God wants to be loved, doesn't He? Just like we want to be loved. He wants to be truth. I heard out there. So God values truth. He desires truth. He actually is truth. And so anything that is true and right and profitable in righteousness, he enjoys. Faith. He desires us to be a people of faith. To trust Him. To believe in Him. To lean into Him. That's what faith does. We lean into Him. He desires that. It's called relationship. It's called companionship. It's called It's called an intimate, that creates an intimacy between us and God. What else? What does God desire? Oh, about three at the same time there. Okay. Do you think God desires to be needed? Yeah, I do. Now, he's completely fulfilled in his own Trinity, but for some reason, he has a desire for his creation to need him. Just like, you know, I want my family to feel like that they need me. That they depend on me. That without me, they would have a void in their life. I hope that, you know, that's the way it is. God also wants us to need him. Now, I can't explain that in its fullness, but it's there. He wants us to need him. Worship. He desires worship, yes. Yeah. Right? Yeah. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to know his grace, know his mercies unto salvation. Yes. What else you got? Honesty. Yes. That we be a people. He desires that we be a people of integrity, doesn't he? Honest in all of our ways. Yes. Anything else? Peace. All right. He doesn't desire turmoil, does he? Is he a God who wants turmoil? No, he wants peace. He desires that. Well, I think if we just got into some discussion groups, we could really fly with some of these. But I'd like to boil it down to one thing, and that is that God desires people. He wants people who are passionate about him. A passionate people toward him. Now, in 1 Samuel 13 and in Acts 13, we find that the Bible refers to a certain man by the name of King David, the household, by the way, of the lineage of Jesus, as a man after God's own heart, or a man of God's choosing. Why? Because David was perfect? Well, we know that that's not true. In fact, David wasn't even allowed to build the temple because he had blood on his hands. And David had to be a person who went to God in repentance and seeking God's renewal in his heart. He was not a perfect man, but here's what I believe why the Bible refers to him after a man after God's own heart is because he had a deep desire, a longing, a hunger, a passion for who God is and for what God wanted to do. He had a passion for loving and worshiping and serving and seeking God, which was satisfying to God. So David was a man who was concerned about the desires of God. So he was a man after his own heart. And God desires people today who are passionate about who he is and what he does. And this takes us to my key chapter today, which is Psalm 96. So if you have a Bible, you'd like to follow along, you're welcome to Psalm 96. And I refer to this psalm as a psalm of passion for the living God. The writer here, which is most likely David, not all the psalms were written by David, but most of them were. But I hear and I see David in this psalm because there's so much passion for God in here. Here we go. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and praise his name and proclaim his salvation day after day and declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the peoples. That's already feel like going, woohoo! Go God! For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nation are idols. But the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord the glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name, and bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth, and say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. And He will judge the peoples with equity. And let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is within it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy, and they will sing before the Lord, for He comes. He comes to judge the earth, and He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in His truth. Woo! Now, I'll tell you what. The writer of that had to be a person of passion for who God is and what God does. And I can imagine that as he was writing this psalm, the radiance of his salvation was beaming out from his being. And the more he praised, the more of the glory of God came down upon him until there was nothing else that mattered. All that mattered was God. Kind of makes me think about Isaiah and his vision of being in the temple. And the glory of the Lord came upon that temple, and the whole room was filled with the smoke, the incense, the power, and the train of the Lord. An experience like no other. That's God's desire, that we know Him with that much passion. And then, guess what? And then when it's only God and all God, the desires of our hearts are fulfilled. He brings the satisfaction by His holiness and His presence dwelling among us. And suddenly the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Oh, that we would be passionate about God. What does passion for God look like? We're going to discover that in these verses here. What does passion for God actually look like? Well, number one, I've only got 3 points in case you're counting, okay? But I've got a lot of sub-points in case you want to, you know, write those down too. But the first thing that I see here in Psalm 96 is that a passionate person is a person who's serious about witnessing of God's goodness. Speaking of His goodness. Declaring His goodness. When we're passionate about God, we just want to talk about Him. We want to share all that makes Him who He is. And, you know, let's face it, because we live in a broken world and we live in chaos some days, it seems like, how do we keep the spark of the goodness of God alive within us so that we're passionate? How do we do that? How do we keep that spark, that glimmer, the glory of His goodness ever streaming from our lips so that it's what it says in the first verse, that we have a new song? He says, sing to the Lord a new song. How do we keep that new song alive in our hearts? Well, we've got to pay attention. Let me give you some ideas of how we can keep the spark of witnessing for Him alive. Have you looked around lately? Have you looked at creation lately? all of its intricacies, its wonder, and it just continually amazes me that anybody can think that all that is living and good in our world, it just happens. I'm sorry, I don't have that much faith. I have to believe there is a creator, because I can't believe that it just happened. Now, we've got over here by the parsonage. Where am I? Where do I live? That way? Okay. Over there, between the two parsonages, we have this drainage ditch where the natural springs kind of flow into that. And the one parsonage, I don't know if you knew this, is built on top of a natural spring, and it flows continually. So the sump pump comes on about every 15 minutes at Paul and Kara's house. And you just get used to it, I guess, after a while. But it pumps natural water into this ravine. And every year we stand amazed that this pit comes to life with amazing creativity from God. Now, every year it's different. So we drive out there and we say, oh, it's getting prettier, it's getting prettier, it's getting full. And then we notice things in that patch of weeds that we had not noticed before. Like this year, there were these big fuzzy things at the end of the driveway. And we're like, I don't remember ever seeing those before. Or this or that. And we kind of go, where did they come from? How did they get there? Aren't they fascinating? What is that anyway? And we would just amaze. And if it, this is the perfect time of year to notice, isn't it? But any time of year, when you look at the wonders and the powers of creation, you can't help but know there's a mighty God above. Unless you've got more faith than I did that it just happened. I think that's one way. I think we need to remember what God has saved us from. The ways that He has brought deliverance and freedom from sin and from the muck and the mire and the pit, that He's raised us up by faith. Remember what He's done for you from the inside out. Think about all the ways He provides. Think about it. All the provisions that we have, from the clothes we wear to the food we eat, to the means to live, we're rich. And the people in other countries who go meal to meal wondering if they're going to eat or not, they go meal to meal. When they get a meal, they feel that they're rich. The hand of God providing. And the more we trust Him, the more He shows us how He is more than able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. He's more than able to open a way in the wilderness. He's more than able to hold us and sustain us and keep us. I think when we acknowledge the price that He paid for us, how valuable are you? Look at me. How valuable are you? And we might say of ourselves, I don't feel very valuable. I've made so many mistakes. I've gone down paths I shouldn't have gone to. I've done all of this thing. I'm not very valuable. I will beg to differ with you. You are of such great value that the King of the universe laid down His life for you. Yes, you. Yes, you. And me, the worst of sinners, was still valuable enough to lay down His life for. And when I understand that God wants to do the same for all who will call out to Him, I stand amazed in His presence. Yes. Look at verses 2 and 3 and 10 there. It says, Sing to the Lord, praise His name, proclaim His salvation day after day, declare His glory among the nations. Verse 10, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Lift Him up. How can we do that? How can we witness of God's greatness if we'll just pay attention? We'll sing a new song. We will sing a new song. Yeah. Get our minds set on things above. Our hearts set on things above. Our eyes set on things above. We'll sing a new song. Oh yeah. The second point here that I see of what a passion for God looks like is giving Him honor and worship. That's what passion for God looks like. Look at verses 8 and 9. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness and tremble before Him all the earth. Acknowledge who He is. Worship Him for who He is and all that He does. Give Him honor. Give Him glory. So how do we make worship more than a mundane routine? You know, mundane routines are things we do without thinking. It's kind of like we don't have to really engage in mundane things, right? We've done it 1,000 times. We've gone to church every Sunday since I was born. It's just a routine I do. I sing songs because that's what I always do about God. And, you know, just it could be meaningless. Couldn't all of those activities be meaningless? Yes, they could be. They could be. But I'd like to suggest today that they not be. That we do more than mundane routines. In fact, I'd like to suggest that we can build our passion for God if we just actively think of new ways to honor Him. How can I honor Him today in some fresh and new ways? What could I do? What could I be? What might I be a part of that would honor God? How might I speak to His honor and act to His honor and do in His honor? Maybe we could come up with some fresh ideas. I bet we could. If we tried hard enough. If we really think He is worthy of worship, let's get busy and think up new ways to honor Him. Nothing wrong with old ways if they're fresh and new, but if they're not, let's think of something new. A new song. We can honor and worship Him with passion if we prepare to worship Him and honor Him. You know, what do I mean by prepare? Be conscientious. For example, don't answer this because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I do want you to think about it. How many of you were prayed up before you came to worship today? That you got up this morning or laid in bed, whatever it was, and you said, God, this is the day of worship, and I'm going to start right now. And I'm going to praise You. I'm going to worship You. I'm going to ask You to be in the service. I'm going to ask You to speak to my mind and my heart. I'm going to seek You with all of my heart. And you got ready for worship. Imagine what we might experience if we prepped for being here. Or in your personal devotional life, do you have a plan? Have you chosen a direction? I want to know. You know, I want to learn more about the character of God. So your folks are. I want to read through the stories of whatever, and you come up with a plan rather than. And I've been there, done this. It's like I have no clue where I want to go today. You know. It's all good. I just don't know where I really. Forget it. Later. That's what happens when we don't have a plan to worship and honor God. Okay? We get discouraged. We put it off till later. Do you have a way of keeping track of how you're praying? See, A person of passion has a plan to get her done. And I have to confess, I've not always had a plan. I'll just kind of hit and miss, and guess what? That's how my spirit is then. Hit and miss. Hit and miss. The new song isn't ringing because I didn't prep for honoring Him and worshiping Him. Oh, good, I closed my Bible now. What was that? Back to 96. There we go. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Bring an offering and come into His courts. What do you have to offer? Decide what you can offer. Make up our minds. What do we have to offer God? And then do what? Start offering it. Because here's what happens when we don't decide what we're going to offer God. We give Him leftovers. The God of all creation, the lover of my soul, the one who sustains me, the one who has given all, His all for me, here's my leftovers. Does that sound right? How do you like that picture? My leftover time, my leftover abilities after I've spent myself on everything else, my leftover resources. Somehow, that just doesn't ring passion to me. Does it to you? My leftover strength, my leftover abilities, my leftover time, my leftover resources to the King of Kings just doesn't seem passionate enough to me. So Jim, this Jim, get with it, right? Get with it. Give Him honor and worship. That's what pleases the Lord. It fulfills His desires. And then lastly here, and this we find in the end of the chapter there, is that a passionate person literally anticipates the second coming. The coming of the judge. Anticipates it, gets ready for it, even celebrates it. By faith. Verses 10 through 13. Let's look at that. Say among the nation, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. And then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord. Why? Because He comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His truth. And I'll tell you what, for the believer, judgment is not something to fear. It's something to look forward to. Because all evil will be eradicated. And only that which stands under the blood, the mercies, and the grace of our God and the blood of Jesus Christ will be left, and that will be all good. See, a passionate person actively anticipates this. What do I mean, actively anticipates? It says look forward to it with joy, gladness, right there in the Scriptures. How do I do that? How do I anticipate with great gladness within me the coming of the Lord Jesus? Well, let's say this. Why don't we spend a good amount of time growing in Christ? Grow in Christ. Grow in Christ. Become more mature. Get off of milk and get onto the meat of the gospel. Become all that we can become for Christ. And when He appears in the clouds, we'll recognize Him. And He will, of course, recognize us. Because you know about the judgment. The sheep and the goats in Matthew 25. Where the Word says when judgment comes, He will separate the goats from the sheep. To the sheep, He will say, come and enjoy my Father's inheritance. That's going to be a glorious day, isn't it? those who know Christ, referred to as the sheep, come on in, enjoy my Father's happiness. But he said, up to the goats who have ignored him and put him off and chosen not to believe, he'll say, away from me, because I never knew you. Strangers are not coming in. Those who have believed and prepared themselves are coming in. Those who have ignored it, he says, depart from me, I never knew you. I want to be ready on that day. I want to have an anticipation that when he breaks through the clouds, I will recognize him and he will recognize me. Because I've been passionate about him, I will anticipate this. You know, we've got to get our citizenship settled. Settle it now. Our citizenship through Christ is not here. It's there. It's in heaven. And then Jesus' instructions are like this. He says, since you are known by the Father, since you are citizens of heaven, now lay up treasures in heaven. So let's do that. By doing what he wants us to do, being what he wants us to be, participating in what he wants us to participate in, being a member of the family, the family of God, doing those things, doing those acts of goodness and righteousness, not for our own glory, but for his glory, is laying up treasure in heaven. And God remembers every single one. Every cup of cold water given in Jesus' name, he remembers. So I think we can anticipate his coming with great gladness. He's coming. He's coming. Have I mentioned he's coming? I'm ready. I'm working out my salvation right now. I'm seeking God with all of my heart. He's coming, and I'm going to be right there, and I'm going to be ready, and I'm going to embrace my Savior. Hallelujah. That's why he says, set your minds and your hearts on things above. Not on earthly things. Give him honor and worship. Witness of his goodness. Anticipate his return. Now, here's how I want to wrap this up. Yes, this is God's desire. If we are concerning ourselves with what is the desire of God, because he has desires, this is his desire. That we be this kind of passionate people who seek him with all of our hearts. But you know what? When we seek to know and honor the desires of our Creator, guess what happens? Our desires become satisfied as well. We are satisfied in him. Because we were built to know and to love God, and people are lost and lonely because they're ignoring or they're rejecting this great desire of God knowing us and us knowing God. Trying to fill our desires with things that don't fit and that we weren't made for. We were made to know God. That was lost, and Jesus redeems it for us. So when we are fulfilling the desires of our Creator, we are finally satisfied with our own being fulfilled. How? I don't know how it works. It just know that we were created for Him. And when we're in Him, we have everything we need. We have everything we need. We need to be passionate about God. Because it pleases Him and it fulfills us. And the enemy of our souls tries to convince us differently. But that does not change the truth. We were made for knowing and loving God. My friends, we need Him. We need Him. We are empty without Him. We are lost without Him. We're a wandering and wondering people without Him. We need Him. And you know what? He wants us. We need Him. He doesn't need us. He wants us. There's a mystery. We need Him desperately. And He wants us. So I would say that is a win-win situation. Don't you think? Yeah. Will we give our heart away to Him? Will we seek Him with all of our heart? Will we think of Him? Will we honor Him? Will we proclaim Him? Will we anticipate Him? Oh God, make us a passionate people. For then and only then will we be full. Karen, go ahead and roll that. Let's worship Him. Give Him your heart.
This is my desire to honor You, Lord, with all my heart I worship You. And all I have within me I give You praise. And all that I adore is in You. Lord, I give You my heart, I give You my soul, I live for You alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have Your way in me.
Let's stand. The altar is open this morning. If you'd like to seek Him with all of your heart, you come.
This is my desire.
This is my desire.
Come on, let's go.
To honor You, Lord, with all my heart, I worship You. All I have within me, I give You praise. All that I adore is in You. Lord, I give You my heart, I give You my soul. Every moment I'm away, Lord, have Your way with
me. Beginning of our psalm today, sing to the Lord a new song. May it be so within every one of us right now, right today. May it be so. Amen. You are dismissed.